Hello, this is Cătălin Câmpanu and this is a Risky Business News sponsor interview with the man with the coolest name in all InfoSec, Silas Cutler, Principal Reverse Engineer at Stairwell. Welcome, Silas.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, Silas, this is definitely not published on your blog, but a little bird told me you messed around with a ransomware gang. Want to tell us what happened there?
Oh, yeah. So what happened was, so I spent quite a bit of time digging through places like Census and Shodan looking for bad. So one of the areas that I consistently always look for are things like open web directories. And what kind of kicked off some of this research was finding an open web directory from an attacker's workstation, not the system they'd be using day to day, but you know, some middle hop point they were using in order to attack targets. And they'd made a pretty simple mistake and accidentally left their home directory exposed. So we were able to collect and get a pretty interesting momentary snapshot on part of their operation. So getting to see actually specifics of who was targeted, how, and also seeing the little tiny command mistakes they make, you know, where you mistype a command and have to retype it. Yeah, it was really interesting to get that close.
Now, Silas, do threat actors care about the security of their infrastructure? Mistakes like these happen all the time, or is this a trait of higher-end groups that put more time into their OPSEC?
So I would say that every group makes mistakes at some point. It's really a question of how bad of a mistake it is and how fast they can clean it up. I see a lot of cases of actors running a sort of a Python web server one-liner where they need to quickly pull a file off and spinning up a temporary web server and downloading it's a really easy method. But if they forget to turn it off, it's going to end up on somewhere like Shodan or Census and folks are going to find it. It's an easy mistake. I've seen actors of all skill levels make it. Please keep making it.
Now, the info you found on that server, I believe you work with CISA to notify victims.
Yeah, so what was really cool is we were able to see the actual commands that were run for when they were attempting to compromise some of the specific targets. And so as part of that, there was a couple of them that clearly were about to be hit by Akira. There was a couple of them that I think may have already been ransomed previously, but still, CISA has a program that they've been working on for a little while, and they've started talking about it a little bit more, where they're proactively notifying victims of cyber attacks, which is really great for me because having spent the past 10 years notifying companies of breaches, I really, really greatly appreciate them taking the beating at times of calling companies on what will become a really bad day. And victim notification is tricky work, and they've been doing a phenomenal job at it.
Silas, there's been reports of Akira also targeting Cisco VPNs recently, which shows the weak spot in most enterprises being their edge devices. You have ransomware gangs, you have APT groups. These devices have been heavily targeted for almost half a decade now, if not more. Do you think these things can be secured, or is this some kind of reverse survivorship bias where we only report about the hacked devices, but we don't talk about the ones that are actually secured properly?
So it's funny because to me, they're devices that we should be able to secure so much better, but we've accepted that they're not secure. These are devices that don't need significant amount of changes. And it's interesting because you'll see some areas in the sort of, you know, appliance or device ecosystem where there will be really cool, good security things that are in place, but never replicated anywhere else. So, for example, the outdoor IoT webcams that I have, the operating system is a read-only, so you can't make changes unless you run a command, remount everything, and then you can make changes. Works perfectly on a little IoT device, but it's not something that's done on appliances and firewalls. And a few weeks ago, there was exploitation in which people were attackers writing web shells, which wouldn't have been possible in that type of configuration setting. One of the kind of interesting things also is, especially kind of on the Akira side of this, it's interesting, and I spent a bunch of time fighting with it as I was writing the title, because one of the things that was really cool during the research of this was, while looking at the places that had been attacked, one of them had previously been ransomed by Snatch, but it wasn't so long before that the attack from the server could have been what had led to that Snatch ransoming. So it isn't a clean, this is purely only Akira. This is a group of attackers heavily working the Akira side, but also working with other ransomware groups and also using the same methods and from a defender perspective would have looked the same as being attacked by Akira. So it's an interesting kind of world, as each of the little supporting affiliate groups has their own techniques that blur across all the different sort of name brand Coke and Pepsis of, you know, Lockbit, Akira, Alphi.
Now going back to your team, Stable is primarily known for its file history tracking solution. Besides tracking ransomware groups or tracking their infrastructure, what kind of other research are you using this data for?
The platform is really cool. And for a lot of the people that are sort of day-to-day users and people that are defending corporate networks, the ability to sort of search back over what's been executed is an incredibly phenomenal power. That said, I've worked quite a few years away from defending a network. So one of the areas that I use the platform really heavily is simply just searching and doing Yara scanning over thousands and thousands of files and using that for really granular hunting. And that's also kind of something that's only possible as well because we're aggregating so many different malware feeds that are out there and putting them into a centralized place. So for companies that want to build a threat intelligence program and be able to do some of the more proactive threat hunting things, the platform also can be an absolute upskill in being able to use it for that and not having to invest a huge amount of time into what are things I feel like everybody's had to build 5 or 6 times at this point, where it's, I need to add it, build something to aggregate all of these malware feeds and add basic scanning and storage capability over it. All of that's taken care of, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
Would it be accurate to call it some sort of in-house virus total scanner?
Oh, that's a great question. And I really wish I knew what the lawyers would say if I distinctly called it that, even if that's what I've called it several times. Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about the InfoSec industry as the evolution of an industry. Do you think solutions like this, like where you take services like VirusTotal that have proven their usability at a large scale for the entire ecosystem and then focus them, their features and their capabilities to a certain client and then merge them, provide a way to integrate them into their networks? Is this something that can be done with other services?
So I think you're spot on about it being kind of an evolution. And it's really easy to think also of VirusTotal as in the role that it serves to somebody like me and to other researchers as this is something we use to hunt for things and look for new copies of malware. But VirusTotal fulfills a massive secondary thing, which is its core primary, which is being a place for people to upload files and get a verdict on is this good or bad. And for somebody like a help desk or a sysadmin who's looking at a phishing message and does not have cybersecurity training, being able to get a thumbs up, thumbs down, this is bad, this is probably bad, like that's an invaluable resource. But their feature set is geared towards that as well, whereas like a lot of the things they built on top of it for researchers, those types of things I think are kind of universally constant for some of this and have been driving force for some of these specialized solutions as well.
Okay, I think that's a great way to end it. Salas, thank you very much for your time today.
Cool, anytime.